Session for Wednesday, April 4th, 2007. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to see you. We are going to start right in. We're going to change the agenda a little bit in deference to our colleague, Representative Geltzer. And I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2848. And Mr. Olson, if you would be so kind as to remind the committee what 2848 is all about.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2848 modifies certain educational class requirements from years to credits, requires a school district to award a diploma to a student who does not satisfy credit requirements but instead meets requirements established by rule, State Board of Education, requires a school district or a public charter school to award an alternative certificate to students who do not satisfy diploma requirements if the student does meet the requirements set by the board of the district or charter school. Allows students with modified diplomas or alternative certificates to participate in graduation ceremonies. It applies to students at public charter schools who meet credit requirements either on or before July 1st, 2009 or 2011, depending on how they're meeting the statutes. It requires schools to make a modified or alternative diplomas first available during the 2008-2009 school year. And applies to public charter schools that enter into a new charter or renew a charter after the effective date of the Act. Requires districts to award children with disabilities a document certifying completion of program requirements and to give children with disabilities who have an IEP an individualized summary of performance when the child completes high school. Again, it applies to the 2008-2009 school year and it declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. While it does have a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means Committee, Legislative Fiscal has issued a minimal expenditure impact statement, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Members, this bill and at least one other bill this committee will be hearing will need to be coordinated on the Senate side. Should we pass them all? Because they're all dealing with graduation requirements, but they are not. It's not too much of a task to take that on. So, including Representative Crummell's bill that he has about early graduation and the SimCan bill that we're hearing today, they'll have to be coordinated on the side. Representative Geltzer is here. If any of the members need information from her on this bill or what it's all about, she's willing to come to talk. If not. We are in work session, and we're happy to take a motion on the bill or get you the information you need.
I move the committee recommend passage to the floor with a subsequent referral on House Bill 2848, and that we send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Vice Chair Donnell. We are going to try to rescind. I have permission from the Speaker's Office to rescind the subsequent referral.
I will make that motion first. I make a recommendation that we rescind the subsequent referral on House Bill 2848 and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dahlin has moved that we send House Bill 2848 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, rescinding the referral to Joint Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, how much is the amount we are talking about here?
Fiscal statement we were given was the minimal fiscal impact.
But as I read this, it shows some amount. How much was it? Does it show the amount here? I read something. Or maybe I was confused with the other bills.
I jumped out of order here on you, Representative.
Yes, okay.
This is
that's
this
fine.
Is
thank you.
2848. Any further discussion on House Bill 2848?
Are we on the rescinding motion?
We are on the motion to pass the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation, rescinding the motion to refer to Ways and Means.
Gotta have a speech ready before.
Wanting to avoid Representative Dahlem's speech, I will ask the committee assistant to call the roll.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Dahlem?
Aye.
Representative Greenwood?
Aye.
Representative
Coates?
Aye.
Representative
Crummell?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Wisnik?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you, members. Representative Geltzer, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to carry this bill on the House floor.
I would be so delighted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this bill. I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 2848 and start back at the top of the agenda. And we will open the work session on House Bill 2614. Mr. Olson, when you're ready to roll, please remind us of 2614.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2614 establishes the Oregon Collaborative for Educational Excellence. Just summarizing, we have discussed this several times in the Education Innovation Subcommittee, where it passed out with a unanimous recommendation to the full on the 29th. They have a dash 3 amendment. Let me summarize briefly what the bill and the amendment would do. It's the Oregon Collaborative for Educational Excellence directs the collaborative to provide a system for research-based, sustainable, high-quality professional development of teachers and administrators. Requires the program to be data-driven, based on research, based on national standards for professional development that are linked to student achievement. It establishes the Oregon Collaborative for Educational Excellence Board, appointed jointly by the governor and the superintendent of public instruction. Gives the board authority to appoint the executive director, advisory committees. It requires the collaborative to identify curricula and work with the Department of Education and the Teachers Standards and Practices Commission, and discusses content of the curricula. Requires the collaborative to develop quality assurance and accountability policies that ensure professional development curriculum is linked with state standards. And establishes a statewide professional development learning network of six regional centers. And discusses requiring an annual report to the joint boards. And it would appropriate $2 million from the general fund to the Department of Education and become effective July 1st, 2007. That's a rough summary of the bill. We have before you a consensus dash 3 amendment brought to you by a work group and Representative Roblin, and I will summarize that, and then, Mr. Chair, I believe we have a couple people in the audience and also Representative Roblin who could speak more detail to that. The dash 3 replaces the entire text of 2614. Does much of the same, but makes the following. It provides definitions for administrator, non-licensed personnel, and a teacher. Adds non-licensed personnel to those eligible for professional development. Establishes a 21-member education enterprise coordinating commission instead of the 11-member board proposed in the original bill with two advisory committees. So you have a commission instead of the board and two advisory committees. It sets, and in the dash 3, as contrast to the dash 2, for those of you who are in the subcommittee, it makes clarifies the setup within the Department of Education. However, the commission can adopt its own rules, and the executive director may contract for its own staff and services. It adds promotion of educational best practices in special education, central administrative functions, and aligning technology as focus areas in addition to the already pre-stated professional development using research base, and clarifies that there should be no more than 7 of these regional centers, and there'll be collaboratives to administer a statewide system. It also clarifies, the amendment does, that the commission will coordinate, not provide professional development, and will identify but not approve the curricula. And clarifies that this professional development will count for licensure or certification. And instead of the $2 million, the amendment would have $600,000 annually from the state school fund to the commission. Again, the dash 3 amendment is a consensus.
Would you repeat what you just said?
Yes. The original bill would appropriate $2 million from the general fund to the Department of Education for the collaborative. The dash 3 amendment appropriates $600,000 annually from the state school fund to the commission. It has a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that was a long explanation, but it's a complicated and important bill.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Representative Roblin, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I'd be glad to answer any questions. We also have some people. I think I saw Mr. Sager. Yes, oh, there you go, right in front. And some other people from the Chalkboard Project could also help with it. This was a work group that worked very hard for a number of sessions to come to a bill which I think represents the best of all the things we want, and that is to provide a group who's going to oversee staff development ideas and make those things available to school districts throughout the state so that the states from the schools from the smallest schools to the largest schools have access to research and good practices that have been vetted by a group of people. It also allows for other organizations, nonprofits, to support that work by having a separate fund that's established that allows them that will be continuously appropriated to that committee to work with. And I think by the time you look at all the people who are on it, we're going to have great conversations about staff development, something that I think in the state has for so long ebbed and flowed depending on other issues in the state as opposed to making sure that we have the best staff development available for all of our teachers and administrators. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I'd be glad to answer any questions, and there's other people here that could do it as well.
Members, Representative Dahl.
Yes, it appears, in having just looked at this, as though we've made a major shift from a mentor program.
Separate bill.
Separate, different bill.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That mentor program is still moving forward.
This is the collaborative that came from Track Force.
Thank you.
Representative Greenlee.
Yeah. Representative Robin, could you talk to us a little bit about the taking this $1.2 million per year for biennium out of the school fund? What's the consequences of that? Are there other places to do this?
I think, from my perspective, this is the best place to take it. There was money already allotted to the Department of Ed with regard to this kind of staff development, other kinds of stuff. And I think having it go through the Department of Ed and into this fund is an appropriate expenditure. And from my perspective, there's nothing better than having great qualified teachers. And it's also the classified people with our new requirements for all of them. Having and knowing where the best kinds of materials are is going to be important to them. So I see it as an important investment. And having it come out of the school fund, from my perspective, says we know and understand that investing in the best research for our teachers and other people is as important as other parts of our education system. So that's why I think it's an appropriate place.
Members, we haven't moved the amendment yet, but just to note, the amendment would place that amount at $600,000.
For biennium, isn't it?
You said per year.
Oh, yeah. It says annually.
Yeah. No, it is annually. It's right. $1.2 million.
$1.2 million.
Thank you very much. Representative Cuff.
Thank you, Chair Buckley. I'm at the kind of the same path as Representative Greenlick. So we're looking at having the money dedicated out of the school general, what is it called?
Out of school fees.
State school fund rather than general funds. Does this give us a better or worse guarantee that that's where this money will be spent?
I think the guarantee is pretty much the same wherever it came from because of where it's going to. It will be placed into this fund that's going to make it theirs to work with.
Okay, I just want to make sure it doesn't get lost in the mud.
And I'd say, Jim Sager could answer some of that too if you want to bring him to the podium. I think he's part of that.
Would you like to come up and be part of the discussion here? And I'll field Representative Wisnett's question here too.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roblin, Mr. Sager, how are you going to decide where the regionals and who comes in? Are the regionals based upon size of school districts or geographic area? And because, you know, and trying to work that in seems like that's going to be...
Kate might be up here too.
Because, like, I think in Mike County, you know, we have more in common maybe with larger school districts than we do some of the ones around us. And also, the question's been, we're talking about money. Did this work group or the people look at, are we, and I should know this, but how much are we spending for QEM? And did we look about combining those or something instead of having all these committees and or having to come up with money for them? Did we look at trying to consolidate? Because I support this. My name's on here, and I'm not taking off. But I don't understand the regional. And did you look at combining some of these working groups on education into this overall?
Chair Buckley, Representative Wisnett, let me take a stab at both those first, and then my colleagues here can add to it. The way that, I'm sorry, James Sayer, Governor's Office.
Thank you.
The way that we have crafted this bill is that the commission, and again, it's quite a rewrite from the original bill. So the commission overseeing this activity, this collaborative on professional development, as well as the other collaboratives that are mentioned, will design, will lay out what the capacity needs of these regional centers would need to be, so that people know that they can apply to be a part of it. The way we envision this is that it could be a standalone entity. It could be a university. It could be an ESD. It could be a not-for-profit entity. More likely, it's going to be a collaboration of regional providers that are coming together and saying, together, we're going to provide this regional delivery system in our area. So that way, not only can we make sure that we provide the resource for that area, but the concept also that we talked a lot about was asking these regions to really focus on a particular area so that we're not creating 5, 6, 7 variations of how to do something, but really sharing that expertise across the state. So we really are creating a statewide network where everybody benefits from the work of each of the regional centers, but at the same time we have the delivery system in place to help the individual school districts as they ask for participation. As far as the dollars are concerned, the Quality Education Commission operates under the Department of Education. I believe the budget for this biennium was $70,000. I mean, it's a very small amount of money. So the conversation was, how can we put money into this regional delivery system where the individual school districts can say, with our resources, we want to be able to, you know, contact you, regional delivery system, to provide us the research, the assistance that we need in order to carry out the work. On the other hand, the school district could say, no, you're really not meeting my needs, I'm going to go someplace else, that's fine. But it is to try and create this statewide network, because quite honestly, the Department of Education doesn't have the capacity to do it. We need to get it out in the field, and so that's the combination.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I apologize, actually, for not knowing some of this, but these amendments are I wasn't taking a good look at those. I was looking at the bill, clearly. So what it kind of looks to me like, if I've got this right, the original bill established the collaborative. Now we're talking about this larger framework called the Education Enterprise Coordinating Commission. Then they would have various collaboratives. This would be one of them. I'm trying to figure out, by looking at the different things they would be tasked to do, you know, if this is the extent of what they're doing, because it looks to me like, with the membership having expanded to a lot of higher ed facilities, it might do other collaboratives that work on other issues, and it just sets up a framework. So if that's the case, then of course I'm sure at least Jim can predict my next question, which is, why is the Oregon Student Assistance Commission not present on the educational enterprise? Because I know they're part of the educational enterprise in general, and why not in this particular bill?
Chair Buckley, I think first I need to hopefully provide some clarification here, because I think we're confusing different pieces of the paper. The -3 amendment that is in front of you, it's labeled as the -3, and Chair Buckley, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the subcommittee passed out the bill including the -2.
Correct.
And so the current bill is what was then labeled as the -2 amendment. And so that is what set up the commission and the specific collaborative. Now the -3, okay. Now the -3 amendment has only 3 very technical changes to it, and those were the making sure that it's under the Department of Ed, that it has the authority to create its own rules, and that it can, in essence, contract services. So those were the technical issues. Why not the Student Assistance Commission? The Student Assistance Commission may very well be a partner inside one of the collaboratives. They necessarily would not be interested in dealing with the issue of central office business functions in K-12 school districts. But if one of the collaborative efforts becomes student outreach to prepare them or pull them into the post-secondary system, absolutely the Student Assistance Commission would be a natural player, just as TSPC isn't specifically identified now as being a part of it, because, again, their interest would be more likely in the collaborative we're talking about specifically on professional development. But we don't outline we don't detail the membership of the collaborative. We say it's the commission looking at a larger set of issues and then setting up these individual collaboratives underneath.
Mr. Chair, if I might help answer that. Cindy Robert from Chalkboard Project. Representative Clem, you bring up pretty much the synthesis of why we're here, and that is this. We started out with a bill that created, in a lot of people's mind, Chalkboard did, and your name's on it, a new bureaucracy, and that was of great concern to people. So we looked around and we said, what's already working well that we can use as well? And that was the education enterprise. They were tasked already with two things, school improvement and technology. Those were the two basic areas they worked in. So we added a third, that being professional development. So within this now enterprise that we're going to make a commission, we have three subsets called collaboratives of what they do. And hence, we have not established something new. It's already been working successfully, and we've simply built on that, on the structure that was already there. So we have this group that is central to this professional development delivery system. But what the bill still does, and what you had originally really liked about this bill, as many of you did, was the fact that we have a statewide network of information. It's a resource. And then we have regional delivery systems that, as Representative Wisnett asked, actually help to deliver the information you need specific to your area, because frankly, Eastern Oregon, Central Oregon, the Valley, and the Coast have very different needs when it comes to professional development and the problems that teachers face. So we divided up the delivery systems into the regions, and then we also decided, hey, how about if those delivery systems focus on something? Like maybe one will have more research done on technology things that teachers can come learn about, and then they'd share that with each other. So not only are we asking for delivery to teachers based on regions that they can better adapt to, but we're also asking each to focus on some specialty area. And understand that I say all this, I say it excited, this is not a regulatory group. This is not a group that's going to make decisions about the standards that teachers have to reach. This is a helping group. It's to allow for the best resources and the best professional development instructors and programs to be available to in our state. It's a quality control for those educational forums. It is not in any way restrictive on teachers, and it does not in any way make it so that school districts already involved in some kind of professional development have to set that aside and do it all right. This is a resource. And finally, might I add, in that resource capacity, the $600,000 a year that you are that you were donating to this process will be matched with private money. Chalkboard Project has made a statement that we will fund part of this through our foundations, and we will also work with other private entities to help increase the match from the private end. This is a public-private partnership, which is really the reason that it came to this makeup in the enterprise system, and I guess I could have just said that, not all the other stuff.
Follow, Mr. Chair, yeah. I'm supportive of the collaborative. I think there's two separate issues, though. There's the Education Enterprise Commission, which might do many collaboratives, and there's a question of who's on that. And I understand, because I've sat through some of these as chair of the commission on different projects and work groups. I just think it's actually a gap that I would prefer to see amended to include the Student Assistance Commission, because community colleges may not be in any one collaborative, on every single collaborative if it's dealing with K-12 teacher instruction, and yet they're at the full commission. The business community may not be involved in every single collaborative, yet they sit on the full commission. And I'm just not supportive of making two different policy decisions right here at one time with just some amendments that I haven't even heard the conversation about.
I want to just say a couple things. From my perspective, the commission at the top is the group that's going to set the RFPs and go out and find the collaboratives. They will be the organizing body of that group. What they do is they set, and they're in the bill, we list three or four things that they can do. There can be up to seven of them. And my expectation as I was going through this and talking to people is that we'll probably get an ESD and a university who come together and say, this university, let's say it has to do with public policy, about education policy and administration. Say Portland State feels pretty good about that, and ASD there works as a collaborative. So the research is done at the university level. The dissemination to the other people is done by the ASD because they have people that are already there, and it goes out to all the school districts. It isn't about getting everybody a place on this panel. I don't know that it matters. I think 21 is a lot of people, and there was a lot of people in that room to get there. But from my perspective, setting out that, you have to have this other commission has to be a member of this commission doesn't necessarily make as much sense to me as the idea that are there people there in that 21 who are going to bring enough knowledge to the whole endeavor to come up with picking the right seven places with their individual research that can then be shared amongst all of the all of them so that we have one system in place that is about making sure the best available research is there for every classroom teacher in Oregon. And that's what I think this does. That's just mine.
We would say Clem.
Actually, what's our status? Are we in a work session?
We are in a work session. There's been no motion made, so we're just going to be in general discussion and make sure people understand.
And I definitely respect what my good friend is saying. The problem for me is I've sat through work groups where you might decide to go do a sub-project. Like, let's say the OUS board, and they did, decided to have different sub-projects, some on access and affordability, some on, I forget all the other ones, but a lot of different sub-work groups. And they tasked out to bring onto those sub-work groups different partners who it made sense only for those sub-work groups. That was the OUS board. It's already determined in law, and that's their right to do that. There was no opportunity to shape who's on the OUS board. And the way they did it made sense. They invited certain partners for certain things. So I understand that model, and I thought it worked well. I'm now looking at a brand new creation. I could have swore in every conversation I've heard about the education enterprise that the Student Assistance Commission was always part of that until today when I see a new thing that might go into other areas as time goes on. I see that this is geared at, and I hate to get the chalkboard projects proposals caught up in this, this is geared at collaboratives revolving teacher education and mentoring and things. But this is almost like a super board of all the educational components. That's what the education enterprise philosophy sort of is. Let's get all the people in one room. It looks to me like we're establishing a super board for the education with very little policymaking authority, but just advisory capacity. And I would, again, prefer, and I'm not sure how good I'd feel about supporting something that is a broader mission than just this one collaborative that doesn't have the right people at the table. Because if you get into financial aid arenas, I want to see the people who run Aspire and the people on the Student Assistance Commission helping decide that that's one of the collaboratives that needs to be sought out after. Unless I'm totally misunderstanding the bill and the collaboratives are only geared around one thing.
Mr. Sager respond.
Sure. Let me, Chair Buckley, thank you. And Representative Clem, let me elaborate a little bit upon what Cindy was saying. We've had for the past 18 months or so a partnership that has been called the Education Enterprise Steering Committee, which has been a partnership of K-12 districts, ESDs, community college and university system, and the Department of Education and the Governor's Office, trying to look at how we create a regional delivery system really focused on the needs of K-12 schools, especially around the items that we've listed in this bill. And so we took that model that's already been working. We've said, well, let's put it into statute, basically, and say this is really going to be important. Quite honestly, the 21-member commission is rather large, and there were several other organizations that at least initially said, well, gee, we want a seat there, too, and we could have easily hit 28 or 29. And so, again, this isn't trying to define this as an overseer board of the coordinated enterprise. This is trying to focus on those delivery components where these cross-sector teams work to help with the K-12 portion of the system and bringing those resources to bear. So I can understand why members of the commission might be very interested in, as I mentioned, if there was talk about an outreach program, that would be a portion of it. Because, for instance, representatives from Head Start were not in the partnership originally. Representatives from OHSU were not in the partnership. I mean, those are all identified by the governor as part of the enterprise, and we really coordinate. We've been working on coordinating all of this, but again, as a piece under the big education enterprise umbrella, here is a group that has been working that is really focused on creating this regional delivery system to expand capacity for the Department of Ed and bring the best research to bear on the issues that, that we've identified, especially professional development, special education, central office business functions and technologies for K-12 districts. And so that was just the thinking. It wasn't to try and exclude anyone. It was to really try to bring a group to focus on those needs while other groups, the state boards of ed, the joint boards, et cetera, are looking at the total big picture.
Representative Dolan.
I think Mr. Sagers answered my question. Thank you.
Very good. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me why DOA doesn't do this now? Why it requires this to get DOA to bring together the best information and disseminate it?
Chair Buckley, we could. I don't know who's sitting behind me. There's someone from Department of Ed, if Pat Burke or someone, but let me just, on their behalf, share that I think that over the past several years, as budget cuts have hit all sectors of the education enterprise, the Department of Education has also been impacted, so that they no longer have the capacity to be able to provide this kind of regional work. They're going to be a very important partner in this effort, and that's why they're on the commission, because they need to help us pull together the data that the department currently collects, and they have access to national data, et cetera. But they don't have the capacity to get that information out through a delivery system, out to the schools, the teachers, support staff, et cetera. That's what this is trying to do, is say, let's take the research and the oversight ability of the Department of Ed, and let's make sure we create a delivery system that gets that information out.
Chairman, I
could agree to follow.
But this is in the Department of Education, right?
I'm worried about
students. In order to avoid creating a new state agency, which carries with it a lot of other issues that, quite honestly, we're trying to avoid, it was determined that the best way to set this up is under the Department of Education, under that umbrella, but set it up in such a manner that the commission has work that it needs to carry out and has the authority to create rules for it to carry out that work. And so, unlike, for instance, the Quality Education Commission, where we specify that the Department of Ed must provide staffing for that work, we specify in here that that is not a requirement. Really, the Department of Ed is serving as a partner and in the fiscal agent responsibility so that it fits inside state government.
Representative Krummel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have several questions.
Please go right ahead.
Everything's going to be referring to the dash three amendments here. On the first page, lines 20 and 21, are these going to be technology specialists that are going to be working to align this the technology used by school districts?
Chair Buckley, Representative Krummel, yes. I mean, again, the work group that currently exists are the IT and data systems people from school districts working in collaboration on this kind of information.
Okay. Suggestion on page 2, lines 6 through 9. You've called out the names of organizations. What if their names change or if their organization ceases to exist? So my point is, you need to put something in there that says "or successor."
Right. We actually we have that. If you look on page 3, line 12, starting right there.
That's not going to cover.
If you go all the way down to line 19, we try to capture that by including there that they no longer exist.
Okay.
I was counting on Cindy Hunt's quality work to make sure we did cover that issue. Thank you.
I don't mean to be too critical of Cindy, but...
No.
On page 5, at the Well, it's 4 and 5. At the bottom of page 4, beginning in section 4. We're telling the commission to appoint an executive director. So I assume this is going to be a paid position, correct?
Chairman Buckley, Representative Krummel, yes.
Okay.
That's the assumption.
Then it also says that in Section 6 that the commission is going to also be appointing some other directors. And at my count, I think I've got four, at least four directors. So those are going to be paid positions as well, correct?
Chair Buckley, Representative Krummel, again, that is the assumption.
The way you have this written out, there's no clear line of command. And one of the problems that I think you're going to find there is that what if one of these program directors decides they want to undermine or cut up the executive director? They don't work for the executive director, so they can tell the executive director to go screw himself if they want to, and there's nothing he can do about it. I would suggest that you fix that.
Chair Buckley, Representative Krummel, I believe we have addressed that. We have the executive director, and I see I'm handing it page 5, starting if you start on line 26, where we say the commission shall appoint the director. The director shall serve at the pleasure of the commission. So the director reports to that. The director then appoints the, and I'm going to quickly try to find the next section of language, but the director then appoints those, or the executive director appoints those directors of the collaborative, which are responsible both to the executive director and the commission, so that, in fact, the commission has oversight of all of this work.
Well, in Section 6, Sub 2, if you'll forgive me, but starting at line 26 on page 5 says, the commission shall appoint a director to administer each collaborative. Uh-huh. The director shall serve at the pleasure of the commission. Each director shall also work with the executive director of the commission. It's not saying that they report to the executive director. Okay. It's saying that they are appointed by the commission, they work for the commission. They can tell the executive director to go screw himself if they want to. I mean, it's not a clear line of command, I don't think. I mean, that's my opinion, or whatever that's worth.
It's a term of art.
highly technical, yeah.
In Section 9 and 10, you've got another collaborative that is now going to have their own director as well. So that's where I think the fourth or fifth person comes in. And that they're going to coordinate all of the professional development. Is that correct?
Chair Buckley, Representative Krummel. Yes, we... And if I could step back just for a minute to make sure that I'm understanding the way you're reading this. The commission will appoint an executive director, and the commission can create collaboratives. And if they create collaboratives, they can appoint directors to those collaboratives. The one collaborative that is called out in this bill is specifically the collaborative we're referring to as the professional development. And so... When you mention that we're already at four, there'd be the executive director, and then it depends upon how many collaboratives are actually established as to how many other directors there would be.
Okay.
No more than seven.
Well, in Section 6, it says the Education Enterprise Coordinating Commission shall, uh-huh. That's a directive, it doesn't say may, shall establish collaboratives to administer programs for a statewide system in the subject areas listed in Section 2, Sub 1 of this section. Section 2, Sub 1, research-based, sustainable, high-quality professional development, support and promotion of high-quality educational best practices, providing central office administrative functions, aligning technology used by school districts, including producing connectivity for rural schools. That's four. Now you've just put in professional development, that's five. The way I wasn't a math major. The part in Section 12 where you've got commission being audited, good. I think that's a very good point. I think that's something that I highly recommend. In Section 13, You've got on page 8, you've got the commission shall notify the Department of Education and the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission about providers that are recognized by the Education Enterprise Coordinating Commission to offer professional development to teachers, administrators, and non-licensed personnel. Each school year, the department and TSPC shall publish a list of providers of professional development. I have one minor little problem with that, and isn't it that TSPC, since they're the regulatory agency, shouldn't they be the ones that are saying whether or not somebody's actually meeting the standards of the state for licensure as far as continuing education is concerned?
Chair Buckley, Representative Krummel, again, this is a report to them. This commission is not, the early version had this commission approving these programs. What this bill now says is for them to report which professional development providers they are recognizing and using and participating with. Again, this is where this relationship has to be built depending upon the collaborative involved with the appropriate group. TSPC definitely would be involved with that effort. And if there are problems that TSPC discovers regarding a provider, it would be appropriate that TSPC convey to this commission that, in fact, that would be a provider that they would be opposed to. But because in the bill we say that the professional development offerings provided through the collaborative must meet the requirements for teacher licensure, administrator licensure, and non-licensed personnel needs for No Child Left Behind, et cetera, that kind of upfront agreement has to take place before it can roll on. And so the idea is that you have that upfront agreement, you've got that relationship with TSPC because you have to make sure it's coordinated. Each year, this commission is going to report to TSPC and the department which providers, in fact, they have been using during the course of time.
What I don't want to set up, Mr. Chair, is a situation where TSPC is expected to rubber stamp whatever the commission does. And if they have a problem with a provider in terms of the quality of the programs that they're providing, or in the way that they're presented, or you know whatever, or that they don't meet the Oregon Teacher Standards and Practices Commission's standards for teachers, that they're not expected to just sort of say, oh, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. Or this commission can say, well, you know what, TSPC, tough. We don't care what you think. Screw you. We're going to go ahead and recognize them anyway. And anybody that has a program from there, you need to approve it.
We do have that.
And I know that Vicki is here. And I guess, you know, there's some things in here, Mr. Chair, that I probably maybe just need a little time to digest. I don't know. But I'm a little concerned about, and I think I've just raised those. In terms of administrator and license, if we go back to the definitions section, teacher has a meaning given that term in ORS 342.120. Teacher in ORS 342.120 includes all licensed employees of public schools or employed by an education who have direct responsibility for instruction and coordination of educational programs or supervision or evaluation of teachers and are compensated for their services. Does not include a school nurse. My point, though, is that these are people that are approved by TSPC, and so I'm concerned about that. The other thing that
I'm going to hold up just for a sec, because we're starting to get on a roll here, and I do have other members who do want to ask questions about the bill. I would ask for a response.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krummel, I think there's some confusion here. We're talking about professional development providers. You don't have to be a teacher to be a professional development provider. The TSPC, we're just asking to list on their website people who help us to get out the word as to what kind of professional development providers are available. It has nothing to do with regulation on their part or our part. It's people that we think are better providers. We're one of only 15 states that don't have any quality assurance on our professional development providers. We'd like to be able to solve that problem through this collaborative and then help spread the word on which ones should be used. That's what we're using TSPC for, not for any regulation of providers.
I guess what I'm trying to make sure of, Mr. Chair, is that the words on the page and how they're going to be interpreted later are what actually is
what the intention is.
The intention is.
Representative Don, did you want to try to help clarify this?
I think so. I want to go back to the original purpose of the bill. And the original purpose of the bill is to provide meaningful in-service for professional educators, and ancillary staff. As Chalkboard looked at this, they found, in fact, some of us heard the information, that there is a whole cadre of professional development programs offered. Some very valuable, and others, well, let's say not quite as valuable. And what this would do is simply provide a clearinghouse so that when the superintendent and his principals and the staff meet and talk about what they might do on in-service days, they would have a clearinghouse that would say, we have tried this program. It is very good. Based on the research and its track record, we would recommend it to you. And that's where we're going. The mechanics behind that, we have to have the teachers. We have to have the administrators. And I can see where the classified persons, if we're going to do an in-service for them, should have a voice. I do have a little concern that perhaps some student voice should be there, but that's what we're trying to do, is to make an in-service professional development program that has some meat and potatoes to the day's effort. And I think that's all we want to do, and this framework does that, I think. No, I know it does.
Thank you, Representative. Go ahead.
Representative Buckley, I'm Kate Dixon, and I represent and work with Chalkboard. And I would just like to say that I've spent 99.9% of my career in Oregon schools as a teacher and administrator. And Representative Dullum just spoke the purpose of the collaborative very clearly. It is, we have lots of random episodic professional development going on in Oregon, some great, some not so great. And what we don't have in Oregon is a way to assure that we can create at a statewide level a highly coordinated process for people to access high-quality professional development. And I work with school districts around the state, and I get questions constantly about, well, do you know where learning community workshops are going? Do you know about supervision evaluation workshops? Do you know? And what happens is that, yeah, I know some, but, you know, it's just random and episodic. And this collaborative, for the very first time, would provide Oregon just an incredible way to coordinate and make accessible the information and knowledge about high-quality professional development. It's also a cost-benefit analysis would be a pretty easy thing to do, and we know we spend over $50 million a year on professional development. For a coordinating effort like this, what it would add to the quality is pretty significant. So I just appreciate your time. I appreciate Representative Crummell's questions and comments, but I also think that there's a way to work with that. It's not intended to be regulatory, but it is very much intended to be focused on best practices and getting that information out to the educators.
Representative Lim, you had your hand up a long time ago.
Thank you for your patience. Yes, I have one easy question and some one hard questions.
Very good.
You're going to say which is which?
The first one, the original bill was talking about $2 million. Now it's amendment talking about the 1.2. And why the number is different? What happened?
Anyone want to field that one? Mr. Sager.
Chair Buckley, Representative Lim. Again, looking at the work that has gone on for the past 18 months, and quite honestly, those of us that have lived in the education community for a long time have learned to try to do things on a shoestring. And so when we looked at what the core needs would be, or we believe at least as we start this program up, what the core needs would be over the next 2 years in order to get this system up and running, provide the commission with enough resource to develop the network, whether it's inside this collaborative or others. This is what we came up with as a number. In part, it evolved out of a policy option package that started with the Department of Education, which was focused on assessment literacy. And that policy option package was equal to about $1.7 million. $1.2 million of that was to help provide professional development training around assessment literacy. The other $500,000 is something that, quite honestly, we're going to try to restore into the Department of Education's budget, because that number was not included in the co-chair's budget, to provide them with additional capacity to do the research that we need for longitudinal studies and other things to make sure that we stay on track. But we looked at that pot of money. We saw the connection with what we were trying to do here, recognized the shoestring budget we've operated on for the last 18 months, and said, this makes sense.
Okay. I like that.
Is that the easy one or the hard one?
I'm coming up.
Oh.
As I see this collaborative, this is a very long name, Collaborative for Educational Excellence. That's a good name, and I like this program. Let me say that first. But at the same time, I'm somewhat confused the way so many programs we are doing, such as a mentor program you are going to hear in Princeton, and also the TCP, TSPC, Teacher Standard Practice Commission, there, and also this program, and then educational enterprise things, and each trying to different things. And I don't know why we are creating so many programs, each different, instead of just working together to make it better. So many programs confuse me and confuse others. And to me, that the mentor program, this one should be combining together. It could work well. And so could you give me some reasonable answer, not only for me, but to my constituents?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, I hope I can answer that. And it is a hard question, but I'll try. First of all, you make a very good point. Why can't we all work together? And I don't think it's that we can. I think there's specific purposes for each piece in Oregon statute. TSPC is a regulatory board. It has oversight. The education enterprise has never been in statute before. So, yes, we are putting in this statute. And, frankly, there are a lot of things that the state's already doing or committed to, such as mentoring. The governor made it clear he wanted mentoring to be funded. There's a lot, and that's been in statute for quite a few years, too. So there's a lot of things already there. The thing that's different about this education enterprise collaborative is that it's a public-private partnership, so we had to rewrite statute in order for my foundations to participate and give money. They had to change the makeup slightly so that it was not just a state agency or the or department all of a sudden being given a whole new realm. We wanted to take it a little bit outside so we get the best of the excellent public people we have in the state and private people and association folks, and try to pool some of the money too, because as you've noted, the $2 million all of a sudden shrunk to 1.2. Well, that's because we've committed to helping make up the rest.
Okay. Just to follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow.
So, and, you mentioned that the matching fund. Is that the matching fund dollar for dollar, or a certain amount are you talking about?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, we have not said specifically dollar for dollar, though it is our goal to raise a dollar for dollar match. It won't all come from foundations. But there will be, we will be working with private entities to raise it as well. We have said all along that if this body needs at some point for us to put in writing what we will match, we'll certainly do that as we start working with some of the private business partners and getting a sense of what they can add.
Okay. Just a comment, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
That's fine. And I don't think you specifically answered my question concerning possibly mentoring program in this program, but that's fine with me. And my comment is, Mr. Chair and members, those graduates from the colleges and graduate school with a degree of master degree in education, they should be able to teach and get their, all the training when they were at the institution. Now we are retraining them with these funds and also their mentoring program. You know, they should have a basic tools when we're teaching there. But this is a good program, but somehow basic educational program in the higher institution, it seems not working well, since we are putting more tax dollars to train them.
I can feel the professional development people here. Ms. Sager, would you like to respond?
Yes, Chair Buckley, Representative Lim, I appreciate your comment. First, let me point out that on page 5 and, wait a minute, I'm losing my, I think it's 8 and 9, on page 8, top of page 9, we specify that the commission is to support the statewide implementation of the mentoring program. So they're assuming we get the program funded in the legislature, we'll be moving ahead with the department on looking at the quality of the program and making sure that we put together a high-quality program. But there's nothing in here, and that's why we call that out specifically, to say that this group could be working in collaboration with that. But let me address your Vicar question here. I was in the classroom for about 14 years, and I taught everything first through fifth grade. The last day that I was in my classroom, I believe very strongly I was a far better teacher than I was the first day. When I left Portland State, they had given me a lot of good research, a lot of good experience, exposure to a variety of ideas, but other than my 6 weeks of student teaching, I really had never had total responsibility for developing programs. Then my first day of teaching, literally I was walked into a room, chairs stacked in the middle with desks, and told that tomorrow my first graders would be showing up and I'm on my own. It would have been very helpful to have had, and luckily I had a neighboring teacher who kind of took me under her wing and helped me a little bit, but it would have been very helpful for me to have had a mentor that I could have on a regular basis gone to and said, you know, I've tried this, it's not working with these kids, and build upon the experience and expertise of that master teacher. So you have the responsibility at the university system to lay the foundation work. And the universities, public and private, have been doing more and more to actually help with the ongoing, once they're graduated, the new teachers. So they don't suddenly say you're out the door and we don't have a responsibility for you anymore. But that transition period where suddenly it's your responsibility, very important to be able to have a mentor there. Ongoing, as I went through my teaching career, and if I were to have to go back to teaching tomorrow, I would require a lot of professional development because curriculum has changed, pedagogy has changed, the makeup of the classroom has changed from the way it was 10 years ago when I left the classroom. So it's not unusual in any profession, whether it's law, teaching, medicine, that you're constantly trying to upgrade. And being educators, we're lifelong learners. It really makes sense that we have a passion for that. So it is that coordination of the entire continuum that the system is looking at, and this is a component piece of that continuum. And I also might say that the first day I was an administrator, I would have loved to have had a mentor there too. And so that's why on the mentoring side, we have both the teachers and administrators. The professional development component in this are those two plus the non-licensed, because No Child Left Behind has requirements now on our teaching assistants and others. And so again, we're trying to look at all those issues and making sure we provide the quality that they deserve.
Thank you,
Representative. Members, we have a very limited time. We have 6 bills to try to get through today, so I just wanted to alert you to that. But I don't want to. This is a very important bill. I want to make sure everyone understands the provisions of it. Representative Wisnett, you're next on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll comment to you, so I don't have to get questions and answer time. I'm ready to vote and move it out of work session today. I'm very disappointed about the statement of the report that on section 12, subparagraph 2. I think that needs work. I'm still prepared to give you a vote today and move it out, but I talked to Representative Robin. I think the report should really be on how this commission's helped us with developing quality assurance, accountability policies, professional curriculum, and increasing student achievement. I think just you talk about, we got this great thing, and all we're going to get a report on is performance measures. I think you need to expand that statement a lot more than.
Okay, thank you.
That's good feedback. Representative Greenland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to say I believe in professional development. I believe in respecting teachers the way I think this thing does. And I really believe in evidence-based public policy. But I'm trying to make sense out of this bill itself, and at least one more thing confuses me, and I appreciate your help. Section 6 says the Education Enterprise Coordinating Commission shall establish collaboratives, plural, to to administer programs for a statewide system in the subject area listed in 2.1 of this act. Then in section 7 through 11, it requires the establishment of a collaborative with exquisite detail about that collaborative. Are there going to be 7 more collaborators, and will we put them all into statute with this same kind of exquisite detail, or what's the deal here about collaboratives and then 5 sections on one collaborative?
Chair Buckley, Representative Greenlick, I think that this is a wonderful example of the work it takes when you have a roundtable conversation with a variety of stakeholders of how to pull the group together into an agreement. Again, we were taking the concept that was in the original bill, which was the very focused one collaborative effort that is called out in this bill, and recognizing that rather than creating that new entity, kind of along the line that Representative Lim was referring to, another new entity, when in fact we had working for the last 18 months a broader partnership in the state of Oregon that could include this specific element, that what we need to do is step back and rewrite the bill and say, let's recognize this broader group, that they're taking on more responsibilities than just the professional development component, but that because of Chalkboard and the work of all the partners, this one collaborative, as we're calling it, had been identified. We wanted to make sure that it was clear that it was included here, but that the other areas that have been identified, that this, in essence, would be kind of the model that the other collaborators would probably follow. And so it's an example of what it will look like. Will it be 7 others? It could be one other. It could be one other that focused on technology and central office business functions. I mean, the commission has the authority to create these as they see fit. And so, again, we're trying to take the big picture, put it into statute, and make sure that we called out the collaborative around professional development, which was the original intent of the bill.
But, Mr. Chair, if I can follow up very briefly, because I know we need to move on. I can feel the pressure mounting on you. Will we set up other collaboratives in statute then? Or if we only want to set up one, why do we set up the commission and the collaborative? Why don't we just set up the collaborative?
Chair Buckley, because the proposal is that we set up the commission and we give that commission the authority to actually create additional collaboratives currently inside the partnership that is operating.
But then why put 7 through 11 in this bill? Why not just set up the commission, say it should do collaboratives, and let it go to work?
Because this concept came from one of the partners that was at the table, and in order to maintain this partnership, we needed to make sure that the language was in the bill. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be negative at all.
It's a bill written by a committee. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I might just be really frank and quick, Cindy Robert again from Chalkboard Projects. The fact is, we needed to have some detail on how this collaborative would work before we could commit the foundation money to it, and I guess it's unfortunate. And hopefully in any other collaborative that comes about, if you have private partners that want to put in as much money as we're willing to, well, you put them into statute too.
You'll need a statute for a new collaborative?
No, you don't need it, but for the private partnership that we require, we needed it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Dahlem.
Are you ready for a motion, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I am ready for a motion.
Knowing that educational institutions will need a collaborative to identify best practices and research-based education, to explain amendment, the -3 amendment to House Bill 2614, I therefore move the -3 amendment to House Bill 2614.
Representative Dahlem.
I have enjoyed frying the governor's office on occasion myself.
I did have a subsequent request within me.
Right now we're going to vote on the amendment first.
Oh, amendment first. Okay.
And then the bill. Representative Dahlem has moved the -3 amendments to House Bill 2614. And I'm sure there'll be some discussion, and I'd like to just add in a little bit of discussion. I have a member who's very concerned about the makeup of the commission in this collaborative. Would you be willing, if we move this along now, would you be willing to further amend on the Senate side to address the Oregon Student Assistance Commission.
And Head Start.
And Head Start. Would that be something you'd be willing to consider at this point? Next.
As long as, and I mean, the issue is this is K-12, and so if...
But the
if
other collaboratives aren't, excuse
no,
me.
No, the whole thing is K-12.
Then why are community colleges and higher ed on this?
Because they're providers.
And
we
want to
make sure
teachers.
Those providers are available for us, and they will be teaching teachers.
Okay.
And we believe that we have to have their input as we're going out and looking research-wise as to what we're going to provide. They're going to be providers of what, as John Lem said, they are the people who are producing the teachers. If you don't have them when you're talking about what it is that we're doing to improve their education, they aren't going to grow from it at the same time making a better institution. It is about teaching teachers and administrators.
And every, excuse me, Mr. Chair, just every single other collaborative that is unspecified and yet is given the power to this commission is guaranteed to only be about teacher training and not Head Start opportunities or about access to higher ed or about... Because it's not in here.
It says K-12. Yeah. I thought it was all just K-12.
It's section 2, yeah. Representative.
Section 2, page 1, line 14 and 15.
That's only
that,
people
that
get
define,
it.
That does define what the enterprise is.
Yes. Right, Chair Buckley, the community colleges are included because they provide a great deal of the training for our support personnel, the non-licensed people. So, again, it's that workforce connection.
Very good. Representative, you've been reserved your right to vote no on the amendment, of course. And at this point, unless there's further discussion, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Representative
Hunt?
No.
Representative
Allen?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Aye. I'm going to give a courtesy yes.
Representative Lynn?
Aye.
Representative
Groban?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Chair Buckley?
Aye. The motion carries. I would entertain a motion on the bill itself.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2614 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Yeah, we're clear. Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 2614 as amendment to the floor with a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means as amended. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Kremel.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. In my questioning on this bill, I'm not trying to indicate that I have an opposition to it. And I think that professional development is extremely important, whether you're in healthcare or teaching or law or any other area. Professional development is important, and continuing education is important. I'm not convinced that what I heard coming out of the people that were sitting at the table is reflected in the words on the page. That's the problem I have with the amendments. That's the problem that I now have with the bill. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a courtesy yes on with a due pass recommendation to Ways and Means. I also think that they have undershot the amount of money that it's going to cost based on what is in the bill. So we can fix it all over on the Senate side. Yeah, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. But I'd rather take the time to fix it here, but I also realize that our time is getting short. So I'm not trying to say that I'm not in favor of this kind of thing. I'm just concerned that where they're trying to go isn't reflected. The other thing, the issue came up with regards to the funds going to professional development. And quite frankly, I'd like to at some point in time, it doesn't need to be here obviously, but I'd like at some point in time to hear from OSBA and COSA that in fact the funds are going to be going into professional development. That when their school district gets funds for professional development, that they're actually going to put the money into professional development. They're not going to say, well, you know, we need a little more on, you know, transportation, or we need a little more on school books or something, and the teachers can pay their own. Now, granted, I think the teachers should pay their own. I pay my own development. But we are setting up a new bureaucracy with this. And I think that's one of the things that we need to recognize. The way the words on the page are right now, we are setting up a new bureaucracy within the Department of Education. It's just a reality. And I also would like to hear from TSPC at some point in time with regards to their role in, not now, with regards to their role in the approval of who providers are for continuing education. I think that they should have a bigger voice in it than what is enumerated on the pages of this of the bill.
Thank you, Representative.
Representative Clem, and then Representative Lim.
And Mr. Chair, as I indicated to you, I'm more than happy to support the bill. I just didn't like the amendments. I love the underlying bill. You know, my mother is a teacher, and often what she talked about was the in-training day and how difficult it is to keep track with all the things going on, which is, you know, we're going to talk about that, I assume, under Sim and Cam, too. So I love the bill. I just see a new entity being created, and I wasn't comfortable that it had all the people that I think of as part of the full continuum as part of it. I worry not about this collaborative, but about future ones, and would like to see that addressed at that point, I guess. If this ever leaves the K through 12 arena, you know, then I would like to see it addressed. We probably shouldn't have called it Education Enterprise, and we should have called it K-12, because that's really what it is. But this name speaks to something that many of us have been working on for a long time, which is a full enterprise, but they're not all in here. So with that, I certainly am happy to support the bill. I just wanted to make my stand on the amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Lim.
Mr. Chair, this is a good bill, but I have some concerns. But I'm willing to give a trial, and we'll see how it's going to work out this coming 2 years. When you come back, we can revisit again. Okay, so that the you know, we don't have to throw this baby out without any blanket. So thank you,
Representative. Further discussion, Representative Roblin.
I just want to say thank to a lot of people who are on a work group, and many of them are sitting in this room, from OEA to COSA to the governor's office to ODE to all of the people, Chalkboard. All of them that sat down there and worked on this. And anytime you have that many people working on something and coming to an agreement, I think it's pretty impressive. But it can also cause some other problems. I believe the words that are on there do address it. I you know, and we'll see how it goes as time goes on. But I think that what we will have for the first time in Oregon is the opportunity for school districts to know where they can go get quality staff development, and not have to look every place in the world to figure out how they're going to do that on their own. And then they pay all this money, and these people come in and deliver, and they get all these comments at the end, and the superintendent and whoever else has tried to pull this together in the best possible way for everybody says to themselves,
I'll never do that one again.
I just, you know, and that we will have regional places that we can go and people will be trained and can come in and deliver it. It's just exciting to me. And when it's coupled with our training institutions and others, I think we're on the right way to making staff development a really effective use of the personnel and people we have and honoring our teachers. So thanks.
Representative Dolan.
Last word. Seems so simple.
Representative Green. I mean, it's really hard to get the vision that Representative Roblin just expressed, which is a vision we all buy. It's very hard to find that vision by reading the bill, and I suppose that's always a problem. So it's how do you bring this to life in the context that will be the important piece of it.
As in...
Representative Roblin.
As in many of these deals, the people who get selected to that 21-person group are going to be exceedingly important.
Representative Clem is in full
agreement. And there have been some great people on OSAC. There have been some great people on OSAC in the past.
Thank you, members. I'm going to go ahead and ask our committee assistant to call the roll.
Aye.
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 Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Roblin, would you be so kind as to carry this bill?
I would love to.
The House.
It gives me a chance to try to answer all these questions.
Representative Cohn.
Just a comment. Representative.
I'm sorry, it's going to Ways and Means. I'm sorry.
Ways and Means.
Right. I'll take it afterwards.
Just the first task this committee should have is to bring a viable bloodborne pathogen training to all schools.
That's true. Yeah, that would be a good.
If you ever sat through bloodborne
right.
pathogen training,
that would be a great one.
Because we're going to move on. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2614. I'm going to open the work session on a very simple bill, House Bill 2574, also a chalkboard bill, and Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 2574 was discussed a couple times in the Education Innovation Subcommittee. It modifies the Beginner Teacher Administrator Mentoring Program, already existing program. It modifies it. It modifies qualifications and specifies training for mentors. It increases the amount of grants and aid per teacher or the administrator the school district may receive. It allows the Department of Education to accept contributions for the purpose of program evaluation and implies the 2008-2009 school year. The Dash 3 amendment, which the subcommittee recommended that the full committee adopt, replaces the text, but only makes the following key changes. It clarifies administrator as a principal or superintendent, changes the eligibility time for mentees from fewer than 2 years rather than fewer than 3 years, clarifies the mentor as an acting or retired teacher, principal, or superintendent. States that the Department of Education may not spend more than 2.5% of the total money on evaluating the program. And changes the evaluation portion to measure teachers who leave the profession in addition to teachers leaving the school district. If you'll remember, that came up when we discussed it in subcommittee. This does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. And just a parliamentary point, my understanding from the House clerk is that since this comes as a recommendation from the subcommittee, we will need to readopt. We'll have to motion to adopt the Dash 3 amendment, and then if the committee should choose to pass as amended and move to the Ways and Means Committee, if the committee chooses to do so. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rule. Representative Cupperson, Rule, I can't remember which one of you I tasked with the charge of explaining this bill further to the committee if they needed additional information. But either one.
I'm fine. And also we have Dana from
we also
Stanford
have a
Children's.
Representative from Stanford Children's here as well.
Who?
So, members, I would kick us off by willing to entertain a motion on the amendment and then have discussion on that amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2574.
Representative Dahlem has moved the Dash 3 amendment to House Bill 2574. Discussion. No discussion. Great. Representative Crummell.
Can we have a minute? I mean, can we have a minute to look at
Absolutely.
The amendments
Absolutely.
Here? Because while I recognize that our able administrator has done a very good job of explaining it to us, it's still
a lot to look. Please take a minute.
Chair, I do have a question. Is our able administrator still here?
Our able administrator, I think, has given up on us.
He's a sunshine administrator.
But Representative Greenick, your question might be able to be answered by Representative Roblin or Representative Cohn.
The question is about the training curriculum for mentors. How will the mentorship training process compare? Well, does it take place now? So.
It does not. Well, Dana was probably better on that one. Do you want to try that, Dana? And or Chuck?
I'm talking about speech fries. Down
the
bottom.
The Dash 2.
For the record, Dana Hepper. Statewide Advocacy Coordinator with Stand for Children. Right now what we see in Oregon is we have a mentor law on the books that's been there for 25 years, and a number of people in this room, I'm sure, worked on it 25 years ago.
Not quite. What people was that, Dana?
That was the late 80s. Yeah.
Yeah, when they were all seven.
And I didn't work on it 25
Only
years
job,
ago.
Was
I was going to preschool.
yeah, rub it in, will you?
But what we saw was 1 year of funding of that program from this body, and so many districts, independently of state funding, have developed mentoring programs locally, and they vary from district to district fairly significantly. So to make a broad statement, I think, would be hard. I think most districts would tell you that they would like to train their mentors more. And they currently have the resources to do.
The question is, we have criteria here for mentorship training as a curriculum. The question is, how will mentors be trained? How are we going to know whether the curriculum is based on research and knowledge if we don't know how the mentors...
Chair Buckley, Representative Greenlick. After this bill is passed, we'll spend some time writing some administrative rules that may give clearer guidance, and then we'll ask school districts to present their plans for their mentor training to the Department of Education for review.
We being Stanford Children?
We being a work group with the Department of Education.
And I would tell you that originally this bill, if you look at the first one, was more specific on this because there was a program that Stanford Children had researched, and it was the one that I really think is one of the best programs in the country. It comes from Santa Cruz,
University
California.
University of
Santa Cruz. And they have had great research to show that they went from 80% retention, 60% retention. We have a hard time with retention. They went to over 90% retention of teachers. They showed that the performance of a first-year teacher under their program was equal to, with respect to the achievement of kids in that first-year teacher's classroom, to a third-year teacher. And so I really like that. I would have liked to put it into this bill. But we got a lot of pushback from individual districts around the state who have programs that they believe are doing that. And so this bill left that a little more vague so that people could show that they are making those kinds of improvements and their program would be accepted. But there is a program that is out there that is research-based, that is available, that I hope a lot of people will choose to get involved with because the research is fairly clear on it.
I guess I'm having a little trouble communicating to it, maybe like foggy voice. But the question is, how does mentorship training take place?
Where and who? Okay. Representative Kopp, maybe you can...
Who trains mentors?
I was going to say, Representative Greenlick, there's been a national movement out for at least the last 5 years, and I don't remember the full name, but it's the National Standards for Staff Development. And there are standards that have now been accepted as a norm. I can't tell you. They're extremely rigorous. I've seen them. And as part of that now, there are associations, different entities that they have a full curriculum about how to be a mentor. And there's one that I was interested in even in going to this summer. It cost $5,000 for 2 weeks. And
Who applies the curriculum? Yeah, how
you
do
become
mentors
a trainer.
Get trained? Do they go to college and get a master's in mentorship?
There are two or three ways that they could be trained. In the past, when we first introduced this bill, they said, here is your mentor pass. You are a mentor teacher. Go teach the teacher next door to you. That was all the training they got. And that was kind of the standard for mentors was we just wanted someone that could show this new person where the bathroom was and the policies with respect to the other stuff. That was kind of mentoring. And what's strange is it helped a whole lot of those teachers be successful and to stay around. Since then, universities and others have developed programs for training the trainers program, training the mentor programs. There are universities in our state that do that. There are private schools that do that. And there are trainer-of-trainer programs that are done by private companies that can do that. So there's a number of different places that are now, you can hire as a school district, you can send your teachers to, you can bring the trainer to your school, you can send one person out to become the trainer for your school district. All of those methods are available to train trainers. What I'm saying is that the one that I would, if I had my way, would be I'd send them down to the University of Santa Cruz, get them trained, and bring them back, because I think their training has shown vast improument with respect to how.
UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Did you have further?
No.
But there are others, and I would expect the University of Oregon, Portland State, all have programs.
Yeah. I just want to make a point that there's not a lack of opportunity for people to learn these skills.
Mr. Chair, Cindy Robert with Chalkboard Project, we're co-sponsors of this bill, co-requesters of this bill. Representative Greenlake, on page 5, section 6, the old language of this bill says that in consultation with a number of people, including the university system, administrators, school boards, that the Department of Education will determine what is an approved training for mentors. And then it's up to local districts to decide, because Chalkboard does not want to take everything away from local districts. We leave this to them to decide how then to implement that approved workshop by the Department of Education.
Thank you. Representative Lynn.
Thank you. So we're talking about the mentoring. I need some mentoring too.
We all do.
And especially the one you were born here, you can read fast. What I read is that the original bill, and then in here you give me this much amendment, and I just cannot read it in just 2 minutes.
This is a good point.
I'm asking just that give me that information or amendment ahead of the time or day before, so at least I come here prepared. You know, I hate to come here without preparation. So if you could mind that will be helpful, mentoring, you know.
Representative, you make a very good point. We're making a transition from our kind of subcommittee process to the full committee process, and I do agree with you that we need, if we can get the amendments to these bills to the committee in advance, well in advance, I think that would be
very good. If it's available.
If they're available. And we'll do our best to make sure they're available to you as well.
Representative Crowell. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I only have, I think, one question.
I'm going to hold you to it.
That's what I think. On page 7, line 5, it says the effectiveness of the mentorship program in the retention of beginning teachers and administrators in the school district and in the profession. And my question here is, how long of retention are we talking about? Are we talking about greater than 5 years? Are we talking about greater than 20 years? Are we talking about somebody that goes to work for a district and then retires 32 years later? Help me out.
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, I 20 years would be great, but what we're trying to do is actually counteract the other statistic that we do have at Chalkboard, and that's that nearly 40% of new teachers quit within their first 5 years. And we're hoping that we can show through this bill that changes.
Okay, thank you. One of the things I like, Mr. Chair, is the fact that we're, because they can go out and get money from other sources, I'm appreciating the fact that, including contributions, that they may not expend more than 2.5% on administrative stuff, and it has to be spent on actually the program. And my understanding is from reading this that it's $5,000 per eligible teacher. Is that correct? That the district is expected to expend, correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell, that's the most that they can spend.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Dahl.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move.
I think we already have a motion on that motion, so I just need to call the roll on this. The amendment's already been put in the motion. So, would the committee assistant call the roll, please?
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative
Dowell. Aye.
Representative Greenlake.
Aye.
Representative
Crumble.
Aye.
Representative Lynn.
Aye.
Representative Roblin.
Aye.
Representative
Goodman.
Excused.
Chair Buckley.
Aye. Motion carries. I would entertain a motion on the bill itself.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2574 to the Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlin has moved House Bill 2574 as amended to the Joint Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
I just want to take a moment because I don't want to speak to this on the floor and take more time on the floor than is necessary. I just want to thank Chalkboard Project in particular, not just for these two bills, but I'm not sure if I'll get to see more of their bills or not. I hope so, but you know, we don't know. And the foundations who supported this effort, because you know, when it started a number of years ago, we've been in trouble for a long time in a lot of arenas in K-12 education, and we really needed the private sector to help. And you know, between the Open Books Project and a lot of other initiatives, significant achievement for the state of Oregon, and it really, unfortunately, didn't come out of the legislature. It came from the private foundations. Stanford Children and others have you know, helped make these proposals stronger, I think, OEA, other groups participating in the work group, but the foundations behind Chalkboard deserve a lot of credit for moving the, you know, a package of bills, and I don't know how many more I'll see, so I want to get that on the record while I have the chance.
Thank you, Representative Clem. Well noted. Chalkboard has done definitely a service to the state, as has Stanford Children. Without seeing any further discussion, I'll ask the committee assistant to please call the roll.
Aye.
Representative
Allen?
Aye.
Representative
Freeman? Aye.
Representative
Pomp?
Aye.
Representative
Crumble? Aye.
Representative
Lynn?
Aye.
Representative Rogan?
Aye.
Representative Joseph?
Chair Buckley?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. And Madam Vice Chair, I'm going to go ahead and close the work session of the House Bill 2574. Gentlemen, we're halfway through our agenda. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2263. Mr. Olson, if that's the bill you have in front of you, that would be great to hear.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2263 is regarding the Certificate of Initial Mastery and the Certificate of Advanced Mastery. I apologize, but this is another bill with a large amendment that was discussed in the Education and Innovation Subcommittee. So as to not, to make this clear and to not add confusion, the bill originally addressed abolishing the Certificate of Initial Mastery, the CIM, and the Certificate of Advanced Mastery, the CAM, and also did a number of other things, which I can quickly summarize. The Dash 3 Amendment, to make it, I think, the most clear, brings the focus of the bill back on abolishing the CIM and CAM and drops other parts of the bill that would have affected other programs, namely the parts of the bill that the Dash 3 Amendment deletes are the parts of the original bill that would have added professional technical education to the list of subjects that school districts and public charter schools must offer students. That deletes the part of the bill that would have modified the information to be included in the Oregon report card issued by the superintendent. It would also delete the part of the original bill that it directs schools and districts that receive federal funds to have parental and community involvement policies. And again, the Dash 3 Amendment clarifies that students must only meet the academic content standards, do not have to exceed them. It changes the wording from alternative diploma in the original bill to alternative credential, deletes classroom work samples as an item added to the list of items used for statewide assessment in the original bill. The bill, both in the original and the Dash 1, has... If a school district establishes child development specialist program, it specifies requirements. It applies to the 2008-2009 school year, and it declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. I think that's...
Can you tell us what sections are left?
Let me pull out my bill, Mr. Chair. If you have the bill in front of you, the original bill, in the summary of the bill, the parts that continue are abolishing the first line where it says, this is on page one of the bill, abolish the Certificate of International Mastery and Certificate of Advanced Mastery. It does that, but leads the, my understanding is it leaves the standards and the statewide assessment as is. Keeps the second line, it abolishes certain programs within the Oregon Educational Act for the 21st century. And then the next several lines are all taken out by the Dash 3 Amendment. The only thing that remains in the summary is the last line of the, the fifth paragraph where it says, if school district establishes child development specialist program, specifies requirements for the program. And then the effective dates remain the same. We do have a couple gentlemen from the Department of Education might help on that as well. Also, I want to note that this does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson.
Before we take testimony,
yes.
Could I ask the committee administrator where the cost is and why this goes to Ways and Means?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dalm, I do not have a cost estimate at present. The Legislative Fiscal Office does not have a fiscal impact statement ready at this time, and perhaps the Department of Education could speak a little bit more to that point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Morgan Allen, Legislative Director for the Department of Education, and we have submitted our estimate of financial impact on the department to the Legislative Fiscal Office, and it was in the neighborhood of $10,000.
Very good.
Could you give me some notion of what the $10,000 is for?
Excuse me. Mr. Chair and Representative Dalm, the original bill, as the committee minister explained, stripped out many aspects. And really what's left for us to do, the portions around child development specialists are already in administrative rule, so the department already provides those services, so we believe that will not add additional cost to us. And our folks believe that they would need some extra help because the SIM and CAM sort of permeate all documents and websites and policy manuals, and that $10,000 would go to get some temporary help to basically have people come in and literally go through many of the documents and websites line by line looking for those references to SIM and CAM, because as you know, all the standards and assessments and all that part of the statute stays, so they needed some additional help to do that.
Can I ask a question to the chairman?
Yes.
What's the threshold for reference to Ways and Means?
In the past, it has been $50,000. We did not have any financial information until this point.
Would it be appropriate to delete the reference to Ways and Means?
Not without a letter from the speaker.
Let me take that into consideration.
And you will.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Any questions for Mr. Allen?
Mr. Chair, can I follow up on this a bit? I mean, it seems to me we should get it deleted, but that means we have to put off the action, right?
Call the speaker's office and ask. Put us at ease for a minute and call the speaker's office and ask if we can rescind it.
I can do that. Are you willing to move forward on this bill?
I'm very. The thing that concerns me, Mr. Chairman, is I'm a policy wonk, never been involved in Ways and Means. It's a black hole to me, and I'd be so avoid it.
Black hole, everybody.
Yeah, we don't want this thing going to Ways and Means.
We can move on to another bill. Send somebody up there.
Temporarily and open the work session on House Bill 2263 and open the work session on House Bill 2750, and Representative Compton, I'll pass the gavel to you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, if everybody would, let's see, 2750.
The computer task force and Mr. Olson.
Okay, Mr. Olson, if you'll give us a quick summary of this.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2750 creates a task force on school computers. It directs the task force to study the costs and obstacles of providing laptop computers to kindergarten through grade 12 public school students. Declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007. This was discussed in March 8th in the subcommittee and then passed out of the subcommittee on March 27th. I do note that Representative Beyer, who sponsored the bill, is interested in coming in case there's any questions. She's in a hearing in hearing room C, so if it's all right with the committee minister, with the chair, I can go notify her that we've changed the order and we're currently hearing the bill.
Well, what I remember from our hearing, and I have written down that Representative Dahlem was going to give us a brief overview. Did you want to do that, Representative? Yeah, I think we'll be okay.
She wanted to come.
She wanted to come. We'll go get her while Representative Dahlem shares what he remembers. And
yes, we discussed this this bill at length in committee. I probably was the most arduous at questioning and probing. And looking for why. I was convinced that the task force that would be established would be valuable. I think it would find information that most of us in education know, but I did call a very good friend, and I see that the superintendent from Springfield Public Schools, whose school uses laptops, has found a considerable advantage. And so with that, it came out of committee, I believe, with a unanimous vote.
Yes.
If there was a dissenter, it was me, and I voted for it, and now I'm a supporter, an absolute supporter. So I think I could field any questions that I would have had.
Reform Center.
Thank you.
Reform Center.
I mean,
that is correct.
We also have former Representative Al King is here as well, who testified on the original bill and be happy to serve as a resource on this bill should any questions come up with you. If not, we are in a work session, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we just put the bill away. That we move House Bill 2750 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Gotcha. Representative Beyer has showed up too, just in case she wants to watch us in motion here. Representative Dahlem has moved House Bill 2750 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none.
There's no fiscal on this, Mr. Chair?
There is no referral on this one. Mr. Olson, do you have anything on it?
Mr. Chair, yes, there is a fiscal statement was issued. It's in front of you. with the other documents. I know we have a large stack of documents, Mr. Chair, with the bills today. I'll read excerpts from it. This measure would require ODE to staff the task force and school computers, made up an unspecified number of members appointed by the superintendent. Talks about travel and other expenses reimbursed. Discusses a little bit more the impact to the Department of Education of the allocation of two existing staff, a principal executive manager G and administrative specialist 2, to this task force. ODE estimates the equivalent of 3 months and 2 months of work respectively would be required. Duration of the task force, cost of staff time would be approximately $23,000. Supplies are supposed to be approximately $15,000. Although the impact of this measure would not require ODE to hire additional staff, the Legislative Fiscal Office notes that other bills pending before this Legislative Assembly would also require an expenditure of staff time. The cumulative effect of multiple enactments cannot be determined at this time.
Was $48,000?
Comes in at yes, 48,000. Approximately.
No, 38,000.
38,000.
38,000.
This is why we're not on Ways and Means now. Are you comfortable with that, Representative Cromwell?
This bill, Mr. Chair, Representative Clam, this bill does not have a subsequent referral to any other committee.
It goes out of here to the floor.
I just had a question. Are the laptop computers in the areas where it's currently going on, looks like some four middle schools, or at least maybe in the Springfield area, are they available for the person to take home in the evenings and things?
Representative Beyer, if you'd like to come forward, we did have testimony on that. It was actually, they've had some interesting experiences with this.
Yes and no.
Yes, yeah, the answer is yes and no.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Buckley. I'll get the name right one of these days.
Yeah.
But, and committee, for the record, I'm Representative Terry Beyer from House District 12. It, at the program that we had in Springfield, they were signed out the computers for 24 hours a day for the school year. I think that it worked pretty well. They didn't have too many problems, but I think the district has since decided that they don't know if they would want to go that way again. So that's part of this, is just to look at the ways to get them in their hands. Howard Elementary was here. Howard Elementary is implementing theirs now, took a lot of lessons, which is part of the purpose of this bill, is so people can learn from each other. And they took lessons from Springfield's program and don't allow the students to take them home every day. And one of the younger students, they download stories and information into iPods and take those home. The older students will get to take them home one night a week with a specific homework assignment, but they have them during the days. So, there are a lot of ways that districts can go, and I think that that's what this is about, is so everybody can learn from mistakes, learn from good examples, learn and get good experience in developing programs to use these. So that's the intention.
Thank you, Representative.
Now, are we just in discussion on
the
motion?
We are in discussion on the motion for the bill to go to the floor.
I'd just like to speak in favor of the motion briefly. I work in the computer business. That's what I do. I go out to people's homes and fix computers. And there was an article in the Statesman Journal maybe 2 weeks ago about the lack of access to technology for low income. And this particular thing reflected Latino families. But my life has been altered completely by the availability of a computer. When I was going to school, there were computer labs, but the way I learned how to use computers was having one at home. Not every kid could afford one. I'm not sure, actually, knowing my own family situation, how my mom did afford it, but I always had one at home, and I make my living in a computer business. My brother's a vice president of a large company in Seattle that's all high-tech, and my other brother works for a global company out of Germany living in Coos Bay, all in technology. Out of the three of us, zero majored in computers. Everything we learned about computers came from having one at home to use as a way to play games, a way to get on BBS, as they were called. Everything came from home usage. And access to technology is a critical arena for the future of our economy. That people, all students, all young people, know how to use the technology. And I think this is really a wonderful thing, because I worry about just having a computer lab at school, but when school closes, you have to wait till the next day to start to learn more about how to use a computer, and it's critical to jobs and people's futures. It's a wonderful idea.
Just a comment.
Where was it come?
So this was your statement of conflict of interest?
I'm passing.
Thank you.
Very briefly?
Very briefly. First of all, I didn't even have a computer lab when I was in school, but that's okay, Representative. But real quickly.
Computers hadn't been invented in
We didn't have computers. Acceptable use. And I don't know if this would be the bill to address it or not, but with regards to a school district's acceptable use policy, is that something that this commission would potentially take up? Because the statement of what they're going to do is very broad, but I think that anytime you're giving a computer to somebody, there needs to be kind of an acceptable use policy that they're going to follow. Otherwise, you end up with kids looking up and whatever what they shouldn't. Cool. And I'm just curious.
Mr. Rillin.
They did talk about that in committee when they were presenting. They talked about their different issues, and in fact, that's one of the reasons why they may or may not have them go out 24 hours a day. And others felt pretty good about going 24 hours a day because the kids seemed to really understand when they told them this is the way it was supposed to be. It had to come back the same way, and they did. So I think that it will automatically become a part of it. I think Terry could answer that, too.
Yeah. And the other comment real quickly, because I don't want to make you change your mind on passing the bill out, but both of the programs that have happened down in the Lane County area have been happening in very low-income schools, very high levels of free and reduced lunches in these schools, and the benefits that they've seen in the academic achievement have been pretty amazing.
Very good. We can really wrap it up quickly. Representative Dahlem is next.
I think our representative colleague is on to a good thing. Computer use. I recall the first laptop we had in our school. I sent it home with a student. They took it to the beach. It was also the last laptop we had in the school. That's a risk that you have to take. But I think if I look to my colleague and ask, is that risk worth it, the answer is absolutely.
Is it really?
I was going to say, I think the other thing that we can all learn from is I believe both these school districts got a lot of their computers through grants. All of them. And so, you know, hopefully the rest of us can learn from this about how to go about getting some of those grants as well so that we can get those to those kids.
That's really great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you very much, Representative. Would the committee assistant please call the roll?
Yes, we're not talking to anyone.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Representative Byer, would you like to carry this on the floor? Thank you very much. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2750. Can we stand at ease for just one moment, please?
Here? Yeah. I need to get your...
Okay. Mrs. Simon Cam, one again is. We hope that reopening session on House Bill 2263. The Speaker's office does say we can send this directly to the floor, so I would entertain a motion.
I move the -3 amendments to House Bill 2263, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Dahlem has moved the -3 amendments to House Bill 2263. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lim?
This is the Simon Cannon bill, right?
This is, yes. That's correct.
And I just want to acknowledge that the work done by the former Speaker of the House, Vera Katz. This Simon Cannon bill was championed by that Vera Katz, former Speaker, and also the former Mayor of the Portland. This could have worked if we could full fund it, but still, we didn't fund enough, so that's part of the failure. But I'm willing to take the cement cam away at this time, since it's not going to fund full anyway. So I just want to comment and put the record in it.
Very much appreciated, Representative.
I agree. I'd like to really second that. I think it was a great idea at this time. It just turned out through a variety of circumstances not to have worked.
And to go along with that same comment, I want to say that there are hundreds of teachers around this state who worked their hearts out to make it work and did a lot of great work, much of which will continue to happen in Oregon and continue to do stuff. And, you know, we need to acknowledge that saying goodbye to Simon Cam is not saying goodbye to all the great work and all the effort that a lot of teachers and classified people put into making this thing work without the money that should have been there to do it. So that being said, I feel comfortable with it being gone away too.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. Representative Dahl?
One comment I would, from the committee, my memory is Representative Roblin reminding me that I have said many times, I came to this state. I thought Simon Cam, and when you say Simon Cam, I think the discussion centered around the definition. And now that we've defined this as two certificates, and I see that in my mind, that's what we're losing. We have maintained the testing portion. I support this bill. It's bitter to say goodbye.
Yep. Thank you, Representative. Representative, we'd like to vote on this bill real quickly. I believe we're done with discussion. Would you
I was going to stand the other end of the room.
Would you please call the roll?
Representative
Clem.
Aye.
Representative Allen.
Aye.
Representative
Grant.
Is
that
any
amendment?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Powell.
Aye.
Representative
Lim.
Aye.
Representative
Roblin.
Aye.
Representative
Wisnik. Aye. Aye. Motion carries. I'd entertain a motion on the bill.
Chair Buckley, I move that we move the bill 2263 to the House floor with subsequent referral, and I believe that's the proper order for that.
And we need to rescind that. We're going to rescind that.
And as amended, yeah, it's
as amended.
And rescind the
subsequent my question.
Representative is attempting to
rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Representative.
All of that, you're magnificent.
House Bill 2263 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and rescind the subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means. Any discussion? Seeing none, would the committee assistant please call the roll?
Aye.
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 Enthusiastically aye.
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 Aye. The motion carries. Motion passes. Carrier for the bill. Representative Dahlman, would you like to carry this on that?
I would carry the bill gladly.
All right. Thank you, Representative. Representative Wisnik.
Mr. Chair, I kindly request the chair reopen the work session on the House Bill 2574 so I may vote.
Representative Wisnik requests unanimous consent to reopen. I've got to close the work session, sorry, on House Bill 2263. Representative Wisnik requests reopen House Bill, work session House Bill 2574 to allow him to vote. Are there any objections?
Actually, it's a motion to suspend the rules.
Motion to suspend the rules. Thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing none, I will reopen the work session on House Bill 2574. Representative, how would you like to vote?
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Colleagues, we have one more bill that I would like to ask you to see where you're at on. It's the local options bill that I brought forward. I need to get that to revenue. If there is a problem for any member of the committee, I will hold off and reschedule it. If you do not have a problem and you allow me to move that to revenue today, I would appreciate that. So I just need to please let me know how you feel on that. Is it okay for me to do that? You guys would
do you need to amend it first?
We need to amend that bill. Yes, we do need to amend it. So it's I'm going to open up a work session then on House Bill 2641. Mr. Olson, if you would swiftly.
House Bill 2641 changes the amount of school district local option taxes that are not considered local revenue for the purposes of state school fund distribution formula. It changes the amount the school district may receive as a local option equalization grant. It takes effect the 91st day following adjournment. The Dash 1 amendment would raise the percentage cap from 15%, the current 15%, to 20%, and raise the dollar cap from the current $750 to $1,000 with a 3% yearly increase. As the chair notes, referral to the Committee on Revenue. You have in front of you the Dash 1 amendment and the revenue statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rolls. I would entertain a motion on the amendment.
I move the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2641.
Representative Dahlman has moved the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 2641. Any discussion? Thank you very much. without objection, so amended, I would entertain a motion.
I move House Bill 2641 to the Revenue Committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Dahlman has moved House Bill 2641 to the Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation as amended. With a due pass recommendation, any discussion? Representative Kopp.
Just a comment, Chair Buckley. I think this is another signal that, and I know nobody likes to hear this word, but we need to look at the funding formula for schools. We passed a bill last session about increasing the amount for special ed students. We have schools all over our state that are crying out in need in different ways. I will be a yes vote on this, but there's a much bigger issue out there that we just can't keep putting Band-Aids on.
Well said and noted. Seeing no other discussion, would the committee assistant please call the roll?
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Members, I greatly appreciate your consideration of that. I'm going to close the work session of House Bill 2641, and I'm going to close this hearing of the Education Committee. Thank you very much for your work today.
Are you?
I was happy with that one.